We're getting bugged on the Children's Hour. This is Mr. Elephant.
Bugs are your friends. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And they live in your backyard. Bugs are your friends. They really are. Watch out because they sting. Ants make me wanna dance. Their social structures are really quite advanced. By digging tunnels, the soil is enhanced. Just don't get them in your pants. Bugs are your friends. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Just don't crush them with your hugs.
I dig earwigs. Decomposition is a service that they give. They break down dead things so other things can live. And it doesn't really hurt when they pinch.
Don't hurt spiders. Just leave us in our webs. Still your friends.
Bugs are your friends. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And they live in your backyard. Bugs are your friends. They really are. Bugs are your friends. They really are.
Bugs are awesome.
You're listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone. And today on the show, we're getting bugged with Jason Schaller. He's the curator of entomology at the Albuquerque Biopark, and he runs something called the Bugarium, which is a whole section of the biopark here that's dedicated to insects. And we've been learning from him why he loves bugs a little bit. He's sitting here at the Outpost Performance Space with a giant bug on him, which we have to learn more about. But first, the kids have a lot more questions for you. Jason, let's go over to Amadeus.
So terrestrial arthropods are a way more diverse group than any other types of animals on this planet. Like, there are hundreds of thousands of species of even just beetles, so why is it that they're so diverse?
Well, that's a few main reasons. Number one is simply their size. So because they're smaller than most mammals and reptiles, they can reproduce much faster, and therefore they can evolve much faster. They have huge numbers of offspring, so you get more genetic diversity with each generation, and that's the basis of evolution, is genetic diversity and speciation radiating out. Aside from that, the whole design of having this really thick skin called an exoskeleton. Now, the exoskeleton is just their skin. It's not a special shell that they wear. It is their skin. What makes their skin unique is that because it's made of a material called chitin, they can harden certain parts of that exoskeleton so that they're almost rock solid while leaving other parts of that exoskeleton soft and flexible. That innovation in itself is really important for them being able to survive in a wide variety of habitats. The beetles have very thick exoskeletons compared to other insects, so they're very solid. And because they have that larval stage like a butterfly does, they can develop this super hard exoskeleton just one time. That allows beetles to get bigger than any other insect. So the Goliath beetle here on my shoulder, this is one of the biggest insects in the world. And they can do that because they can get to their maximum size underground, where it's extremely stable and they're well protected, and they have all the time in the world to slowly eat and grow. And basically the beetle is this all-terrain tank. It is solid, indestructible.
You're literally tapping on the back of this beetle. That is the back of a beetle that he's actually tapping on.
Yep, and that's also my method to get them to get off your hand sometimes, because they can grab on very tightly and be hard to move.
How big can they grow?
Maximum size is roughly 220 grams in the larval stage, which is a little more than half a pound.
Oof.
Our biggest grubs in the bugarium, we have a type of elephant beetle, and ours get to about 140 grams, which is more than a third of a pound.
How big would that be? Like, if you were showing me with your hand.
So I have this goliath beetle here. He is a very large male, so he's considered a major male for the species, but an exceptionally giant one could be the size of my fist.
Whoa. Kaibia.
How old can the beetle get up to?
So they're actually, once they're in their adult stage, they're not very long-lived. So to give a general example, they spend about a year to a year and a half as a larva / pupa. And then once they're adults, they usually stay dormant for a couple of months. And then once they wake up and they're active adults, they usually live 8 to 10 months. And that's for a goliath beetle.
You've been on our radio show before with the goliath beetle, so this probably isn't the exact same guy, is
probably
it?
Probably his great-great-grandson, maybe great-great-great-grandson at this point. We are on generation 6 now.
Oh, wow. Amadeus.
So how intelligent are bugs?
Not very. Most insects have what we'd call a ganglion instead of an actual brain. It's basically a nerve cluster that, you know, has a lot of programs that respond to stimuli. Like, I always joke that you could write an insect's brain in JavaScript. Like, they're not that complicated.
So you mentioned that they function sort of like in modes, and they respond to specific stimuli in a very specific way. Now, for example, in people, say if we saw a tiger, we might get a chemical released in our brain that makes us feel fear as an emotion, and then we want to run away. So for them, do they have feelings to an extent, or do they just respond to certain stimuli in certain ways without really feeling it?
That's the billion-dollar question there. It goes into the philosophical debate of what is consciousness. And that is something that I've always had a struggle with finding any sort of good answer to it, but I look at it this way. If I'm growing sugar crystals in a jar and I change the temperature or the pressure, that changes how they respond. The crystals respond differently to different stimuli. They'll grow in different shapes or at different speeds and stuff. But this is really is sugar conscious, or is it just responding to, you know, physics? And all the way up to a human brain, it is the same physics that are operating. So at what point do we say, oh, this thing is feeling versus this thing is not feeling? And that's a really hard question to answer. So I feel like to not lose your mind, you have to draw the line somewhere.
Well, Jason Schaller is the curator of entomology at the Albuquerque Biopark. It is our zoo and our botanic gardens and also the place where Jason works, the bugarium. We have links and pictures and so much more posted to childrenshour.org. Jason, why should we love bugs?
Well, you should love them because they are a really good representative of just the universe. Like, they represent everything that's beautiful about nature. Diversity, perseverance, and entomology is one of those things that kind of ties everything together. You find they kind of affect everything and they're tied to every field of science. So, like, they're model organisms for genetics. They're an important part of agricultural sciences. They're, you know, model organisms for developmental biology. They're an important part of botany, ecology. You can see them everywhere. They're in your backyard. You can raise caterpillars or roaches, watch them grow super quickly, change before your eyes. They're like a very hands-on, readily available chunk of the magic of the universe that you can just have right in front of you whenever you want.
Jason Schaller, thank you so much for being with us on the Children's Hour.
Oh, thank you so much. I always appreciate the opportunity, and yeah.
I'm old. I'll be right as rain just as soon as you know it. Look at those birds running away. Come back here, I'll show you. Avian menace. Don't worry about me. If someone could just come and turn me back over. No, never mind, I'm all right. I'm jolly good, actually. Just have to keep a stiff upper mandible, that's all. My word, I'll be back on my feet in no time. No, you've not heard the last from me. It's just a little scrape. It'll grow back. Apart from that, I feel splendid. Yes, splendid, I tell you. Bright as rain. This avian menace has got to stop, I tell you. Avian menace. Oh dear.
I have two brothers. I know that I've told this story earlier. My older brother's name is Fred. And when we were growing up, we found out that he was afraid of spiders. And it was about this time of year, and my younger brother found this out, and he was just delighted. He went up to a big spider web, and he grabbed this big black spider out of the web, and he goes, Fred, check this out. He pops it in his mouth, and he just, he just started eating this thing. He popped a grasshopper in his mouth. Every bug you could see started going in his mouth. And we went to school, and we got a note sent home from the principal going, Mrs. Mayor, will you please feed your child? He's eating bugs and dangling worms in his mouth in front of the girls at recess. And out of this came the song, My Brother Eats Bugs. And if you want to clap along, it would be just great. Yeah. There's no holes in my sweater that moss might have made. We never buy fly paper, never need raid. Come into our kitchen, you won't see a fly. No worms in the garden, I'll tell you why. My brother eats bugs. Oh, grasshoppers, crickets, and slugs. Oh, butterfly wings and other gross things. My brother eats bugs. When we go fishing, there's one thing I hate. We never catch nothing, cause he eats the bait. When we have a picnic, there's one thing he'll do. If there's any ants, he'll eat them all too. My brother eats bugs. Oh, grasshoppers, crickets, and slugs. Oh, butterfly wings and other gross things. My brother eats bugs. He munches on hornets, but never gets stung. But he won't eat woolly bears, they tickle his tongue. We caught some fireflies one night in the park. He swallowed them all, now he glows in the dark. My brother eats bugs. Oh, grasshoppers, crickets, and slugs. Oh, butterfly wings and other gross things. My brother eats bugs. I'm starting to think that my brother's part frog. He even eats fleas. That he picks off the dog. But I'm starting to think that he's on the right track. Mosquitoes bite people, he bites them back. My brother eats bugs. Grasshoppers, crickets, and slugs. Oh, butterfly wings and other gross things. My brother eats bugs. My brother eats bugs. My brother eats bugs. My brother eats bugs. Oh, nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. Guess I'll eat some bugs. Yeah.
That was Hans Meyer from See You Later, Alligator, with My Brother Eats Bugs. Before that, Bombardier Beetle was Key Wild and Mr. Clark. You're listening to The Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone. Insects are an incredibly diverse group of creatures found all over the world. There are more than 1 million known species of insects, and scientists believe there could be millions more we haven't discovered yet. There are bugs that live in almost every habitat on Earth, from the hottest deserts to the coldest mountains, and even underwater in some cases. They can be found on every continent, including the icy lands of Antarctica. where some insects survive in freezing temperatures. Insects also live in surprising places, like on our bodies. Tiny bugs called lice live on our scalps, and they feed on tiny amounts of blood, while mites are so small that they can live in your hair and on your skin without you ever even noticing. These bugs are part of nature, and they've evolved to survive by living on or near humans and other animals. There are many different sizes of insects, like fairy flies, that are barely visible to the human eye. The largest, like the Goliath beetle that Jason Schaller brought into the outpost, can grow as big as your hand. Their diversity doesn't stop at size, though. Bugs come in different colors, shapes, and have unique ways of moving, like flying, crawling, and jumping. Arachnids, like spiders and scorpions, are close relatives of insects, and they live in similar environments and play important roles in nature, like they help control the population of other animals. And did you know that some bugs have even gone into space? Scientists have sent fruit flies and ants on space missions to study how they behave in places with no gravity. Fruit flies were the first living creatures sent into space in 1947. Bugs help scientists learn more about what might happen to living things in space, like how their muscles might work and how they move. This research even helps us understand how humans might handle long space missions, like traveling to Mars. We've got photos and so much more posted at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Get Bugged.
Ladybug, you've got wings. Fly away home, stay for spring. Ladybug, you've got style. I like your red suit. Stay a while. Lightning bug, you're all right. Don't be scared now, you are the light. Lightning bug, shine so bright, you're a beacon in the night. Hey, Junebug, on the porch, flying too close to the torch. Hey, Junebug, I have to say, my mom don't like you, but I'm not afraid.
You're listening to The Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Users at tokenibis.org donate to The Children's Hour every week without spending a dime. You can learn more at tokenibis.org. Outpost Performance Space in Albuquerque, New Mexico is a proud supporter of The Children's Hour. Find out more at outpostspace.org. Support for The Children's Hour is provided by United Way of North Central New Mexico. Support provided by the City of Albuquerque and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund. The Children's Hour is supported in part by New Mexico Arts, a division of the Department of Cultural Affairs, and by the National Endowment for the Arts. Keep up with the Children's Hour and subscribe to our monthly newsletter at childrenshour.org.